What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Philly Talks. Guys, again, you know how it goes. Thank you for playing the play button. Thank you for downloading another episode. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. We're going to keep growing little by little. I'm enjoying the journey every day. I know I've been a little shaky on the episode, but this is actually what the episode's about. I've been working with Amazon for like delivery drivers for the last month or around the last month, and I'm gonna give you my experience, and I'll let you know in the episode coming up right now if you should be looking into going to Amazon or you shouldn't be looking to go into Amazon. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just gonna be talking about just this seasonal year, as the holidays come around. I'm talking about all year round, if it's worth it. Because I came in right before the holiday season. So I the first couple weeks, the first 3 weeks, I saw how it was before the rush. And now this week, the rush came in, so I can tell you how it is now. But yeah. But before I get into that, guys, I did something, like, you know, like, I like to not invent, but, like, you know when you get into those situations where you're like, I don't feel like going outside right now, so you make something to eat that you wasn't expecting to eat. Like, let me explain. I come downstairs today, right? And I'm like, you know what? I want to make myself some a spinach wrap, right? And I want to put some scrambled eggs in it and maybe some pepper jack cheese, you know, get that little kick in there. If we have bacon, great. If we don't, I could probably make some salami or something, cook that up, throw that in there. You know what I'm saying? Get myself a nice little wrap or two, you know what I'm saying, depending how big the wrap is. And I get down there, and all we have is just the eggs. And I'm like, oh, man, damn. I don't got the spinach or the pepper jack or the bacon, but I do got the salami and stuff. So I'm like, damn. So I got to go out and get the laundry detergent anyway so I could do my laundry today because I'm off today. And I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like going out right now, though. Not right now. I'm hungry. I want to eat now. So I remember I saw this a little while back. It was, I think it's considered prison food, or they call it like broke boy rice or something like that. It was something of that nature. So I said, you know what? I'm just gonna go for it. I can't remember the whole recipe, but I'm gonna create my own type thing. So I made the eggs, scrambled them up inside the pan. They're all cooked up. And then I remember that before you do that, you're supposed to get a ramen bag, ramen and soup, crush it up in the bag, open it, grab the little silver flavor pack, pour it in there, and then pour some water. And as you're cooking the eggs and everything, you let that sit in the bag for a little bit. You don't fill the whole bag up. You fill up half the bag, and you let the noodles sit in the bag with the water. So, and that's what I did. I left that in there. And when I was done cooking the eggs, then I poured the water and the ramen into the pan as well. I know you guys are like, what the fuck are you doing, Steve? Like, just trust me. You know what I'm saying? I saw that. I said, you know, I'm going to try it. I got the ingredients. It's too cold to go outside right now. You know, I just got out the thing is, I got out the shower and I took a nice hot shower, you know, in the morning, just to make myself feel good and everything. So the last thing I want to do is go outside in the cold. So back to the story. So I throw the ramen in there, and you know, the water's going to evaporate because of the heat. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to worry about that. And you don't have to worry about the eggs being wet. Like, everything's going to dry out at the end. So I started mixing it all together. It starts coming together and whatever. And then I was like, oh, I got some actual rice from a couple of days ago. The yellow rice with the little beans inside of it. So I say, you know what? I'm going to throw a little bit in there. But I know that rice, that type of rice, has a dominating flavor. So the important part is to put a little bit of rice in there. Don't put a whole bunch, because that has a dominating, you want to get all the flavors in the eggs. You want to get the ramen with the flavor pack in it. You also want to get the rice too. So if you put too much rice, it's just going to dominate the flavor. So I put a little bit of rice in there, mixed it all up. And, you know, I went on to like until everything got dried out. You know what I'm saying? I could tell that everything was dry. And I went, I put it like, as I mixed it up, I put it into a plate. Sat down, and I ate it. It wasn't that bad. You know what I'm saying? It filled me up. You know what I'm saying? It was a good portion. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't, like, I liked it. It was good. You know what I'm saying? I think it's prison food also. I think this is what they do in prison as well. Like, when they get to have, like, you know, when they get there, they make their orders from inside the prison. Because, like, usually if you get, when people send you money when you're in prison, it goes on your books. And then you can buy things from inside the prison. So you can buy tasty cakes, you can buy sodas, you can buy ramen soup, you can buy, you know, some other stuff, junk food and like kind of like realish food type situation. Because they give you food in prison, but this is like your snacks. If you want snacks throughout the day and you get hungry. So I think I've seen this at some point as well. I might have started on the TikTok as well, maybe. But I'm pretty sure, as I was making it, I was like, this has to be prison food. Like, I feel like I should be hovering over this to make sure that the police don't see me. You know what I mean? Make sure the bailiff or make sure the prison guards don't see me. But I'm not in prison. But that's the feeling that I had. I had to cover it. Like, I'm making it. Like, and I feel like I got the spirit of a prisoner who's done this before into me. And he was like, oh, you gotta do it like this. And then all of a sudden I became a chef. I was moving that rice and the ramen and all that. I was whipping that joint. It was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was good. So try it out. You know what I'm saying? If you want. If you want. If you're at a point where you're broke and you're like, you know, I got some leftover rice, I got some ramen soup, and I got some eggs. What can I do? Throw that all together in the pan. You know what I'm saying? And make something to eat. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, I'll probably, if I have kids, don't tell Kat. If I have kids and Kat goes to work or something and I'm home with the kids alone and I don't feel like cooking or we don't got nothing, I'm like, hey, I'll just make this for you guys. You know what I'm saying? And I'm knowing kids, they're like, oh, shit, yeah, man. Thanks, Dad. And this is really good. You know what I mean? I get to get rid of the rice from the day before and I get to, you know, make some ramen, which kids like ramen anyway. And they like eggs too. So it's a win-win. They like the ramen, they like the egg, and you can get rid of the rice from the other day. Bada bing, bada boom. Don't never say Big Baby Seed never gave you anything in your life. I just gave you the greatest tip in your life. So, yeah, but I'm definitely gonna do that for my kids. I'm gonna call it something like a secret word. So, excuse me. So my wife doesn't, you know, she won't know what I'm talking about. When the kids be like, oh, I want something, and I'm like, what do you want? And they be like, and they'll tell me like the word, and it won't be a like a real word. And then that way she doesn't know. I'd be like, and if she's around, I'd be like, oh no, not right now, but maybe tomorrow. But yeah, that was good. So try it out. Let me know what you guys think. But let's get right into the episode. Guys, I'm going to give you my experience with Amazon, the good and the bad. If I think it's a, you should be looking at Amazon, especially just in the delivery section, as a long-term or short-term job. Some people have mixed reviews, but I'm going to give you my experience. I can only give you my experience. And I've been working with them for maybe a month and a week. So I can give you my personal experience and I'll tell you how the day should go and how my days did go. So hope you guys enjoy it. Stay safe. I hope everyone's having a great holiday. I hope you guys enjoyed your Thanksgiving. I hope you guys are staying warm. You know what I'm saying? And if you're stressing out, please don't stress. You don't have to stress. Don't stress. Everything's going to get better. You just got to keep moving forward, peeps. There's a reason why the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirrors. You know what I'm saying? Keep moving forward. Don't look back. But I digress. Let's get into the episode. All right, guys. So, as you heard in the intro, we're about to get into my experience. So, first of all, let's talk about me getting into Amazon. So, the way I heard about the Amazon was hiring for drivers, I saw, like, some of the commercials and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I was doing Lyft and I picked up a passenger and the young lady told me that she just started at Amazon. And I asked her, how did she like it and whatever? And she was like, oh, it's really good. I like it. They leave you alone. They really don't bother you, blah, blah, blah. So I said, all right, cool. So she gave me a card for her company and whatever. So what I didn't know was I thought Amazon just hired drivers, but come to find out, Amazon has actually partnered up with different delivery companies, like different logistic companies. And basically, they do the deliveries for Amazon, so they partnered up. They're not a subcontract, they're actually partnered up. And because of that, which is smart on Amazon, because now all Amazon has to worry about is about the products, and making sure that the products that the people bought from their website gets to the whatever facility that they have, and making sure those, and all they have to do is make sure that their partnered trucking companies or delivery companies come and pick up the items. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's just one delivery company. I think it's multiple, which is really smart, because now you keep the competition real, you keep the cost low for Amazon, because now no one can be like, oh, we're setting our prices even higher now for the next following year, because now they're all competing with each other. Smart. Amazon has proven to be really business savvy, especially here in 2020. So just getting in was hard enough. It took me almost 3 weeks. And it wasn't like it was something as if like, oh, it was a 3 week process. It took 3 weeks because the company I was trying to get with, their communication skills just suck. You know what I'm saying? They didn't answer back right away. They didn't answer texts or phone calls. So I would have to go in person. You know what I'm saying? I would call for two days, nothing. I wouldn't hear nothing back. Then I have to go over to the facility, which is actually Amazon's, their warehouse area, but they have the different logistics teams in there. So I would have to go to the actual Amazon place and then look for the person and be like, hey, like I've texted you or called. So it was long, you know what I'm saying? But I knew it was worth it. They were paying good money. So I was like, you know what? I think they start off at like a 16, which isn't bad. So we get in and I finally get everything done. They'll have you go and they'll make you do a drug test. Then they'll run your license, and then they'll put you on an app, and then that would run your background. And then you watch a couple of videos, and then you're ready for your 2 days of training that they give you before they put you on as a delivery driver. Now the 2 day training isn't hard, but it is nauseating. Basically the first day you're watching like a good 5 or 6 hours of videos. They give you a little tablet and they give you those old headphones that used to be like on the airplanes, the ones that don't go in your ear, but they go on your ear, like the 90s headphones. When you had like CD players and stuff like that, they give you those. And I remember being like, Jesus, what the hell is this? And you have to sit there on the tablet at a desk, small desk in the middle of it, looks like an open room. And the trainer who's supposed to be training you and, you know, explaining the videos, he or she is just going to be on his own laptop or phone watching, you know, videos on YouTube and stuff like that for the next 5 or 6 hours. So that being said, I was there for like 6 hours probably. And the crazy part, they tried to fit the second day into the first day. And I was like, no, I'm good. So the first 6 hours, and it sucks, because I know you guys are like, well, you know, who can't watch TV or videos for 6 hours? I can't, you know what I'm saying? It's not like you're home and you can change a channel or you can get up and do something else when you're done. Like it's boring, because it's not like you're just watching it. You have to press the next button for the next video. And then they give you little quizzes on it in between the sections. It was just really bad. I hated it. I hate just sitting still and doing nothing. Like I can't. So that being said, I got through day one. I came back for day two, and the trainers told me to meet them at somewhere else in the morning around 9 o'clock to go over how to drive the van or whatever. Guys, if you have never driven a van, it's a lot different than what you think it is. Make sure you tell the trainer that you really want to keep going over stuff, because if it wasn't because I worked for a nonprofit that we had to move wrestling mats around and U-Haul trucks and stuff like that, or because I didn't have family members that when they would move out their houses but they couldn't afford a moving company, they just rather do it themselves and we have to use these vans or U-Haul trucks, stuff like that. If I didn't know how to drive these growing up, I would have failed that. And it's not a test, it's training. They're training you. So of course you're going to do bad. But if I didn't know what I knew, I was literally there for 15 minutes, put it like that. 15 to 20 minutes was the whole, like, and luckily I knew what I was doing. If I didn't, I still think it would have been 15 or 20 minutes and they would just threw me out there anyway. But lucky I figured it out, did my thing. We went back to the office. watched another 4 hours worth of videos, and then they sent me up to the company. The company says, hey, show up tomorrow, 7:15. I say, all right, cool. Finally, I've made it. I'm in. I'm totally in. So I go in the next day, and they give me a truck and whatever. And they give me a light load. So the load, so I have around 89 packages with like 55 to 60 stops. And that's a light load. That's a light, light load. And I didn't know that at the time. I was like, oh shit, 89 packages? Jesus, y'all trusting me with this much packages? And I had somebody follow me for like the first couple stops, and then he got to do his own thing. So the job isn't bad. All right, so it's really not that bad. So how the day goes is you show up to an offsite. So you don't show up straight to Amazon. You show up to an offsite. You meet up with the you meet up with your company that you're working with, and they assign you a route. They assign you a phone. They assign you with a gas card, and they give you the keys to the van and maybe a charger because you might need it for the van that they want you to use. So then you have to go inspect the van and whatever. And then they tell you what time to depart from the offsite to go to Amazon. And once you get to Amazon, then they'll line you up in a row, and you have to go to your station, and it'll say it on your phone, on the Flex app that they have for Amazon. It'll tell you what station you're at. You look for your route. You grab your route. It could be two carts full of stuff. It could be three carts full of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So you have to pack up your van and everything. And then after you pack up your van, after you scan everything and then pack up the van, then you get in your car and you wait to be departed, because we all get departed at the same time. You can't just pack up and then leave. You have to wait for everybody to pack up their trucks, and then everyone leaves at the same time. So that way there's not that much flow of traffic, no crazy accidents happening. So, and then from there you go out and you do your route. You know what I'm saying? You do your route. They monitor your driving off an app that they make you do on your phone, not their phone, and it monitors you. So then you do your route. Then you come back to the station of Amazon. You debrief with the station. Any package that couldn't get delivered because they were damaged or because there was nowhere safe to leave the package at, you bring it back to them or whatever. Then you go back and you send off your stuff to you return the van, basically. You gas it up, return the van, get in your car, and you leave. Now, the first 2 days weren't too bad. They were light loads. I got done pretty easy. The third day, though, that's when they put up a lot more packages on me. And I realized, like, oh, you guys don't really care. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys are just like, oh, yeah, just let them do whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you did 2 days of worth of work. I think you can upgrade now. Here's the thing that gets me, right? And I didn't know this, but I used to listen to people when we were waiting for our vans and whatever in our routes. They would say, I hate coming here and not getting a route. And I said, that doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't you get a route? If you're scheduled, you should get a route. You know what I'm saying? The only time you shouldn't get a route is if you're not scheduled and you weren't paying attention to your schedule and you just showed up. That's when you shouldn't get a route. But at that time, I had got my third day, got a route. And then I wasn't working on a schedule. And I said, hey, I need a schedule, guys. I need to know when I'm coming in and when I'm not coming in. So we settled on Sunday to Wednesday. And I was like, that's perfect. But it seemed for the next couple of weeks, I was only getting Sunday and Monday. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, I would get sent home. And that's because we hadn't entered the holiday season where people were buying Christmas gifts and stuff like that. So if you're not in the season, right, if you're in the summer, spring, fall, understand that if you get into these companies, there's a really good chance you won't get a route. Even though you're scheduled for a day to come in, you might not get a route at all. And that sucks. Because if you don't do a route, you don't get paid for that day, unfortunately. It's not like, oh, we don't have a route for you, but you still get your hours. Mind you, these are 10-hour shifts. 8 hours to do your route. The other hour is to get your van, pack up your packages. And then the last hour is for you to your travels back to the station, drop off any packages, and then drop off the van. So it's a 10-hour shift. So they're giving you 8 hours to complete your route. Which sounds reasonable, but a lot of times there's too many packages. The other day I had about probably two worth of routes. I had almost 300 packages, 142 stops, and it was the worst day that I've had in a long time because it just felt like I wasn't making a dent in what I was doing. It felt weird. It felt like, wow, I can't catch a break here, you know, like to the point where I think I got rescued. And what rescued means is if someone else finishes their route and they want some within their 8 hours and they have like 3 hours to kill or 2 hours to kill, they can go and rescue you by taking some of your bags of packages and then doing that and doing some of your routes. So I think a guy came and he did like, I had 18 bags full of packages plus what we call overflow, which is the individual packages. And out of those 18, I think he took like 3 bags and I was like, oh, thank God. But even with that, I had done, it was 18 packages. He took 3, so left 15. And at that point, I had done 7 by then, by the time he came. So I still had another 4 or 5 bags. And it just felt like, it was already around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, I just feel like I can't keep up. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, like, they gave me too many packages. But in my head, I'm like, there's no way they gave me too many packages. I'm just slow. That's what it is. Like, I'm new to this. I'm slow. There's no way they overpacked me. Like, that's impossible. Well, finally, it's around 6 o'clock, and I got, like, maybe 3 bags left. So, out of those 3 bags, and your app usually tells you on the Flex app, says, hey, start heading back to the station because your time's almost up. So I get back, and I was actually right. My gut feeling was correct because even at the station manager even called because there was something happening in the route, and he said, hey, there's a package that was missing or something like that. And I said, yeah. And by the way he was talking to me and the way I was speaking, I guess he was like, oh, are you new? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh my God. And I thought it was an, oh my God, like, I don't want to talk to the new guy. Like, this is going to be so long. I got to explain it. No. This was like, oh my God, why the fuck did they give you such a big route? That route's humongous. And I was like, and that's when it hit me. Like, I knew it. I knew this route was not a normal route or even an overpacked route. This is like, like two routes in one. You know what I'm saying? This is what you do, like, with experienced guys who've been here for 3 or 4 years who can handle this. Like, I was like, whoa, like, I knew it. And I came back, and it seemed like the system had got screwed up where everybody got overpacked. Because usually when I come back around 6 o'clock, it's like me and two other vans are showing up or me by myself. That day, it was like 6-7 vans, and they were all bringing back packages. I brought back like 52 packages that I couldn't deliver. Other people were bringing like 40, 60. Somehow the system got screwed up and we got overpacked basically. And I was like, wow, how did no one catch this? You know what I'm saying? Like, how is it I'm new and I caught this, but the managers who I'm working for didn't catch this? So it lets you know that they're not really paying attention. You know what I'm saying? I can't speak for all the delivery trucks, but the vans that were bringing back packages were not all from my company. They're from different companies. So I know for a fact it's not just my management that's not paying attention. That sucked because it was like I would deliver and I would get rid of a bag of packages, and it seemed like it wasn't getting any, like, it wasn't going down at all. Like, I still had more packages to deliver. It was very stressful. I definitely say that if you're thinking about going into Amazon for delivery, it should definitely be a short-term interest. It should be as a side gig. Shouldn't be, because look, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get sent home for the next couple of weeks or next month or two. It's just for the simple fact that we're in the seasonal, like, everyone's buying Christmas presents, so the volume is there. But if you're doing this in the summer, you might want to have a second, third job lined up, because there might be days where you just might be sent home. So that's why I say make sure you're working on your own thing That way, if you get sent home, you're like, screw it, I can work on my own project, on my own business. But yeah, so back to what I was saying. So I give back all the packages, and I get there, and they're like, damn, like, and then you have to tell them why and whatever. It was bad. That day was bad. I couldn't help it. But for a fact, I definitely made it through. And I went back the next day. My girlfriend encouraged me to go back the next day. She's like, gotta, you know, move forward. You know what I'm saying? Just keep moving forward. And that's what I did. And, you know, it wasn't too bad. But it definitely opened my eyes to, like, this is short term. This is not a long term. The guys that have been here for a year or two are the guys that have found a way to milk the system. They found a, like, they're like, I'm not gonna call them kiss asses or anything like that, but they know the dispatchers, they know the people who give out the routes, so they're all buddy-buddy with them, you know what I'm saying? Like, they know if the dispatcher smokes, they'll come up and be like, hey, you wanna smoke or something? And that puts them on their good side. See, that doesn't work for me because I don't like kissing ass. I don't like any of that type of stuff. I'm the guy that I come in and I work, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get my eight and skate. That's it, you know what I'm saying? I don't wanna be your... Especially now, I don't want to be anybody's friend. I don't want to make any friends in this company. Because every time I get into somewhere new, I always end up meeting people, like co-workers, and we become somewhat as like work friends. And then they always tell me their problems. This manager did this. This manager did that. And because I'm me, I give them advice. I say, if this, like, you should do this, or you should go to this person, or you should go above this person and talk to these people and stuff like that. And that gets me in trouble in every single job that I have, because I just, like, if you give me a problem, like, there's people that have problems and there's people that have solutions. And it seems like all the people that have problems come to me for solutions, because I just, oh, this is a problem? Well, here's your solution. This, you should do this. And if that doesn't work, then you should go down this avenue and do this. That's always been me. You know what I'm saying? I never like to be like, oh, I have a problem, and just sit there and be like, that's my problem. And I'm just hoping that somebody's going to fix it. No, like, I need solutions. So I'm not trying to make any friends at this job whatsoever, because I don't want nobody. Because I can tell by the disorganization of this management team, the moment I start becoming work friends with anybody, they're going to be like, oh, can you believe this person did that? They sent me home over here. They told me to come at this time, but they gave away my route because I didn't come at the other time. It'll be so much that I know. Like, it takes everything in my soul not to speak up about me personally and be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You know what I'm saying? Like it pisses me off. So I got sent home Tuesdays and Wednesdays for the last 2 or 3 weeks before this week. And that sucks. So what I did is, like, you know what? I'm not showing up on Sunday. And it's required that you work one weekend day. So you either could work Saturday, you could work Sunday, you could work both. But you got to work one of those days on the weekends. So I didn't come on my day on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew for a fact you're skipping over me. Because I should be on the schedule. So either A, you're not putting me on the schedule, or B, the dispatcher who has me on the schedule is skipping over me because he's cool with these other guys who've been around for so long, for a year or two. So he's like, oh, I'm gonna take your route and give it to this guy rather than give it to you, because you're the new guy, you could go home. You know what I'm saying? Type situation. So either those two are happening. So I said, you know what? I'm not gonna show up on Sunday. Hell no, I had a family thing later on that night, and I knew if they gave me a really big route, I wouldn't make it. I said, screw that, I'm gonna spend it with my family on Sunday. We were, and my younger cousin from Florida was here, and we spent it with him, and we played some games at my uncle's house and whatever, had some pizza. It was a really, really good time. But I was like, I'm not gonna go, you know what I'm saying? Because clearly you guys don't even notice I'm not around. Well, come to find out, they noticed. They noticed. The dispatcher who was there on Sunday was there Tuesday, I believe. Yeah, Tuesday. And he was like, hey, where were you Sunday? And I wanted to smile and be like, I ain't come. I was like, what? He's like, Sunday, I called you twice. I said, oh, I didn't know I was going to get a route, so I didn't come. Because I'm tired of coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning and being home and being sent home by 7:45, 8 o'clock. You know what I mean? Because it's not like you get, when you get there around 7, they tell you, oh, you don't have a route, you can go home. No, that's not how it goes. They say, oh, hang tight. And then around 8 o'clock, they'll tell you, oh, you go home. So you've been waiting around an hour for no reason. You woke up at 6 o'clock, and you've been waiting around for an hour. And then they can tell you, then they tell you to go home when the routes are, when there's no longer any routes. When I've just seen you give all these other people routes. You know what I'm saying? So, and the guy was like, I was like, yeah. Like, I'm like, I didn't want to play on Sunday to see if I was going to get one or not. He's like, oh, you definitely would have got one. But I was like, in my head, I'm like, I definitely know I would have got one. Because the same people you give routes to and you skip over me to give routes are the same people that don't want to come in on Sunday or Saturday. So now you need the reliable people who really want to work hard, who want to get their 8 hours and leave. That's when they shine the most. That's when you really need us on the weekends, because all the unreliable people don't want to show up. So, you know, I put them on notice. You know what I'm saying? That was my way of putting them on notice. Either you're going to start giving me routes on the days that I'm scheduled, or I'm just not going to show up. Because how is it okay for you guys to be like not giving me a route on the days that I'm scheduled, but then if I don't show up on the day that I'm scheduled, then it's a problem? Like, no, like, what's fair is fair. You know what I'm saying? What's good for the goose should be good for the gander. That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? So, I talked to the other manager lady who's a little above, and I was like, hey, like, what's up? Like, I've been sent home for the last couple of weeks on the days. She's like, oh, we're picking up and whatever, so we should definitely have the value. Nobody should be getting sent home. But she said, I told everyone, all the dispatchers, that the rule is that if you do get sent home, the next day you should be rostered into the people who get routes the next day. You're like, you should be automatically put in if you get sent home the day before, which lets me know that even though there's a chance I'm going to get sent home. You know what I'm saying? Because now that they have the value, a lot of the unreliable people who don't want to work on weekends are going to be coming in on the weekdays. Because they want to get their, you know, they want to get their routes, and they're cool with the dispatches and stuff. So I might get sent home at some point. But yeah, that's I definitely put them on notice and let them know, like, I'm like, either we're working together or we're not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind becoming one of these unreliable people. It's against my nature to become unreliable, but I don't mind becoming one of these unreliable people who just come in whenever they want. You know what I'm saying? I've seen guys who haven't showed up 2 days out of their shifts and then show up on a day that they're not on, and the dispatcher's like, oh yeah, like, he's like, oh bro, where you been? I haven't seen you in like 2 or 3 days, bro. And they won't have any excuse. They'll just be smiling like, oh, you know how it is, bro. All right, I'm trying to get you a route. What? I literally have come the last 2 days and I'm trying to get my last day in. Like, give me my, like, I'm trying to get paid. I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to kiss your ass. Like, And that's the important thing I want to tell everybody, to make sure, like, you don't have to kiss nobody's ass, bro. Nobody. You don't, like, just do what you have to do. Do your work, and that's it. Don't think you have to kiss anybody's ass to get ahead in life. You don't. That's not how we do things around here. No sorry, Bob. But, yeah, that's how it's been going. So far, it's not bad. Once you're on the road, they really don't bother you. You're just out there delivering packages. Oh, I will say, the one bad experience I had with a Karen. That's what I had. Yeah, that's one, a Karen. I had an encounter with a Karen that went crazy. I went and had to deliver a couple packages to this apartment complex on Welsh Road called the Winchester Walk Apartments. Again, that's the Winchester Walk Apartments on Welsh Road, not that far from the Boulevard. I had to go deliver some packages, and, you know, I had apartment 40, apartment 39, apartment 18 and 11. So I'm looking into these apartments, and the way they're set up is they're in rows. So there's one apartment complex. Then in the middle of that is a, like, you know, cement and some grassy area. And then on the other side of that grassy area, it's another row of apartments, and they're all facing each other. You know what I'm saying? The two rows are facing each other. And then behind that, then you have the garage, the alleyway, the next person's garage on the apartment complex, the new buildings on apartment complex, and then so on and so forth. Google it if you want. Google it. So for some reason, whoever made these apartment complex had the dumbest idea of making these apartment complex. Like, the numbers were not syncing up with each other. Like, my my first package was like apartment 62, but the row that started was 63 and down, and I couldn't find 62. And then the other one was 40 and 39, right? But the way they were set up, it was 37, 38, 40, right? And I'm like, where the hell did 39 go? So they skipped the number, you know what I'm saying? So I couldn't find 39, but I did have 40s package, so I put the 40s package down. I just couldn't find 39. So that's how it went. It was 9, 10, 12. And I was like, where the fuck did 11 go? Like, who made these apartments? Well, come to find out, I'll go to the one of the notes that says from the packages, because, you know, on Amazon, you could leave notes for the delivery person. It says, if you have a hard time finding my apartment, because I guess she knew that she had one of the retarded apartments, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I know retarded is not the most best word, but I feel like it's okay if you're not describing a person. You know what I'm saying? If you're describing a thing, I think it's okay. But I guess she knew where she was living, and she was like, yeah, if you can't find my apartment, please leave it at the leasing office and they'll contact me. So I'm guessing she's done this before. So I go into the leasing office, and I have like three packages, maybe four, and I see a guy in the leasing office. He looked like he works there, and I go, hey, do you mind if I leave these packages here on this chair? You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh yeah, leave them right there. So I said, all right, cool. Sounds like he's done this before. So as I'm scanning the packages, the lady all in the back, I don't know her name, white lady, she's a Karen, walks out to the lobby, and she's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And she's like, and she kind of looks over my shoulder as I'm scanning the packages, and she's like, oh, if you don't mind just delivering those packages to the actual apartments, that'd be great. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was trying to, but the numbers on your apartments are kind of like a little screwed up, like 39 isn't next to 40 for some reason, and 62 isn't next to 63. I don't know how you guys set that up or whatever. And she's like, you just have to find them. Yep, that's it. Just have to find them. And I was like, I tried finding them, I just didn't. She's like, yeah, you just have to, you know, just go out, you know. And I'm like, okay. I knew something was going on, so I got a little heated. I guess you guys know I'm a little hothead sometimes. And I'm like, well, if I could find it, I would have found it. Like, it's not like I'm just coming in here just trying to drop off packages. And she's like, honey, it doesn't matter. It's not my problem. Okay? And I'm like, well, miss, I said, I'm trying to explain to you that someone wrote in the notes, you know? And she's like, no, we don't take clients' packages. Okay? It's not my problem. Just find them and deliver them. And I'm like, whoa, calm down. I'm trying to let you know that the person who wrote this note said for me to leave it here. It's not like I decided to come to the leasing office by myself. A note was left here saying that if I can't find the apartment, to give it to you guys. And she just got this attitude, nasty attitude. It didn't make any sense. And I'm like, okay, cool. No problem. I said, fine. They just won't get their packages. And when they ask why, I'll let them know why. And she was like, okay. And she made some smart remark or whatever. So, at that point, it let me know that she didn't know what the damn apartments were at either. That she just be in the office, that she don't know. Because the leasing office is like one of the first rows. So it's like a first row, and then there's apartments next to hers and in front of her. And then the rows continue. So I said, all right, I'll just grab the packages, and I was about to leave. And then the guy comes out that I had talked to in the beginning. He goes, oh, hey, and he explains to me how they work. You know what I'm saying? How the numbers are working, whatever. And he explains to me that if it skips a number, so 37, 38, 40, 39 would be the next door on the side of that 40 building. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's 40, and then right around the corner on the same platform that door is on, it would be 39, which I would never have expected or even think about thinking like, oh, 40, like 39 should be right after 40. Like, that's not how numbers work. So I was like, okay. So I figured it out, and exactly how he said. And I was like, oh, thanks for helping me out. And, you know, and it made me like, and he was a Hispanic man. But I don't think he knew I was Hispanic, but it let me know, like, oh, he's been through this where he had to explain something, while she, on the other hand, like, why couldn't she just explain that to me in the beginning? Easy, because she don't know what the fuck she's doing. Her nasty-ass attitude was off the charts from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't what she was saying. It was the way that she was saying it. Like, if I'm telling you the way she was saying it, she had this attitude of like, oh, just, like, do your job, don't be lazy type thing. And it's like, I'm not trying to be lazy. I'm just following what I'm, like, on what's on the notes. But if you are thinking, and the crazy part, me and Kat were actually thinking about moving in to those apartments. When we saw them, because she was working at that plaza, the Northeast Towers, I believe, plaza that's right there on Welsh Road, that Welsh Road plaza. She was working in that plaza. She's like, it'd be kind of cool to work at that apartment complex, and she could just walk over to the plaza without having to take a car. So she had to, like, you know, it'd be a quick 10-minute walk back and forth. And I remember thinking, like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. But even before then, I told her, like, no, I don't like it. I don't like it. For some reason, I just didn't like it. And then when I got this experience with the leasing management lady, I said for a fact, I don't want to be here. I'm so glad we didn't pick that fucking apartment complex to move into. As we're still looking, but still, like, I'm so happy we didn't pick that one. That one was off the board from the gate. And I now know why. I'm the type of guy that has vibes. And the vibes that that lady gave me that day, let me know, I don't want to live here at all. I don't want nothing to do with her because of her attitude. She's one of those Karens that feel like they're entitled, and because they have a management spot that they can say and do whatever they want to say to whoever they want to say, as long as they have pigmentation in their skin. Like, no, like, you are crazy. You know what I'm saying? The only reason I didn't curse you the fuck out was because I was on duty. That's it. That's the only reason I didn't curse you out. If I wasn't on duty, I would have literally told you to go fuck yourself. You know what I'm saying? So in my opinion, I would not rent an apartment from Winchester Walk apartment. I would not rent one of those. In my opinion, I'm not going to. And if anybody asks my opinion, I would say no. Hell to the no. Because if she's disgusting with people who she doesn't know, I can only imagine how disgusting she is with people that are leasing those apartments from her. You know what I'm saying? Who's renting out those apartments from her. I can only imagine. If she had the confidence to come at me and she doesn't even know me, I can only imagine the confidence she does when you guys have a falsy piping situation or something's wrong with the apartment. I can only imagine how disgusting and nasty she'll be after she gets your money. Because I'm pretty sure before she gets your money, she'll be all nice and, hey, how's it going? All the smiles. But the moment she gets her money and she knows she has you locked in for the next year, she will be so nasty and disgusting. Oh, no, you can't do this. You can't do that. I know she'd be one of those Karens that will just bug you and be like, what the fuck did I get myself into? So please, be mindful of the places that you want to, you know, live at. You know what I'm saying? I understand the situations. Sometimes you can't really make those decisions. Sometimes you're desperate. And you're like, fuck it, I gotta live somewhere. I don't want to be in the streets, especially now in this time of day and age in the season. I understand. But if you're just looking, you and your girlfriend, or you by yourself, and you're just looking for an apartment, I would not go to Winchester Walk Apartments to find anything. That's just me, though. You know what I'm saying? Because the way you treat me when you don't know me will let me know how you treat me when you do know me. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. Like, the energy you put out to people you don't know is going to let me know how that energy is going to be amplified when I do know you. So if you're really nice to me and I don't know you, I know for a fact that when I get to know you and we create a relationship, that your niceness and your helpfulness and your kindness is going to be amplified by 3 or 4 times that. You know what I'm saying? But it also works in reverse, as in, if you treat me nasty and disgusting when I don't know you, for a fact, you're going to treat me 3 times, 4 times, even worse than that when I do get to know you. You know what I'm saying? So that's just, that was my one experience where I was just like, what the fuck? Like, how, like, why are you giving me such a fucking attitude? I'm doing my job, lady. Calm down. And it lets me know that we really should make sure we let the Amazon people know, and all the essential workers, not just Amazon, all the essential workers. We have to be more mindful on how we treat them, because sometimes they're literally just doing their jobs. You know what I'm saying? That's it. They're literally just doing their jobs. And if you have a problem, it's better to explain it to them and communicate to them what the problem is without an attitude, without screaming or yelling, just letting them know what the problem is. And 9 times out of 10, they can help you. If she would have just came and said, hey, we don't really do we really don't take packages for our clients and all that and stuff, but if you need help, I can help you find what packages do you have, what apartments, I can help you find it, I can point it out to you and stuff like that. And I would have been like, oh, great, thank you, I appreciate that, because I only get 8 hours to do these packages. So if I'm wasting 30 minutes looking for apartments, that's 30 minutes that I'm behind on my route. So that would have been the way to, oh, we don't accept those. These are, if you're looking, what packages do you have? Oh, this one, you have 39. Actually, 39 is actually right after 40, right on the same wall. So you might want to do that. And I'll be like, oh, thanks, I appreciate that. And then it would have let me know for the future ones that anything like that, a good time is going to be on the other side of that platform. But because she, you know, was too busy being a bitch. I know my girlfriend doesn't like it when I call females bitches. But there's bitches, you know what I'm saying? There's some females out here that literally are just, like, there's females out here that just are miserable. And they try to get their misery onto you because misery loves company. So, you know, it put me behind, but it was fine. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's been the only one customer type thing, not really a customer bad situation where I've had, where I'm like, wow, you know what I'm saying? And it's not like it didn't seem like she was having a bad day. And I know we don't know what people are going through, but it wasn't like she was in the, like, when I saw her, she was out on her phone laughing, chit-chatting up with somebody. Because when you walk into the apartment leasing office, you can see right into her office because it's open. So it wasn't like she was already stressed out, having a bad day. She just came out, was like, oh, I'm top bitch around here and I'm telling you what to do. Like, no, like that, don't do that. Don't do that. But yeah, that's been my experience. You know, if you're thinking about joining the Amazon crew, I would say make sure you have something else behind it. You know what I'm saying? It never hurts. The one thing that's better than one income is two incomes. So don't be dependent on them. I know they're hiring a lot and they're putting a lot of commercials out there saying that they're hiring, but you have to understand that there's going to be days that they're going to send you home, and then there's going to be other days where they're going to overwork you when you are there. So basically, when they're not sending you home, they're going to overwork you. And if they're not overworking you, it's because they sent you home. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Figure out what you want to do. I know we're in troubled times. We're all trying to survive and, you know, just trying to push forward and do what we have to do. But keep that in mind. You know what I'm saying? Keep that in mind. Don't go into anything crazy. I don't think it's a long-term job. It's more of a short-term job. All right? And please do not stop thinking about things that you could be doing yourselves. Please make your own business, make your own side gig, podcast or a clothing company, or, you know what I'm saying? Do your thing. Go out and do the what you have to do to make sure you don't have to put yourself in these positions again. Rather than being the employee, you could be the owner. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my thoughts, guys. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. You guys stay safe. I'm out.